I could have called that one. Glory to God. 3 years, Thursday, cancer free. I ain't talking about a little spot on her face or skin cancer. I'm talking about head to toe. Eat up, aggressive, eating her from the inside out. Yeah, he ain't got nothing to shout about. I don't know where to preach or just have a fit this morning. Seemed like either one of them ought to be easy to do about now. I'm just so full. Good thing about getting full, you can run over, amen? David said, my cup runneth over. There's a young man that comes by our church every now and then, hadn't seen him in a while, but he'd sing a song. I'm drinking from my saucer because my cup is overflowed. And all the shouting you hear this morning is from a cup that has overflowed, amen? It's just so full, it can no more fit inside, and something's got to come out somewhere. Psalms chapter number 12 this morning. A little girl raised her hand in Sunday school class one day. She's about 5 years old, and she said, teacher, if I'm saved, you said that Jesus lives in me. She said, that's right. She said, well, if I'm so little and he's so big, if he lives inside me, won't some of him poke out? Y'all all right? He's just poking out a little bit this morning. Amen. Psalms chapter number 12. Last Sunday morning, I brought a message about a God who works against all odds. Amen. We never have a moment or a situation in our life that is too big for God. Go and just chew on that just for a minute. There's nothing you face that is too big for God. Amen. Nothing at all. There's no divorce. There's no child problems. There's no financial problem. There's no mental problem. There's no health problem. There is no issue that we face that is too big for our God. I serve a great and a mighty God this morning. That felt good. I said I serve a great and a mighty God this morning. Hallelujah. Years ago, Oral Roberts. Y'all remember Oral Roberts? Oral Roberts, the big faith healer, charismatic, whatever you want to call him on television. And he got out and he's talking about these visions that he's having. I worry about some of these people's visions. I think they own crack rock or something. Amen. Said he saw Jesus and he was 90 foot tall. I thought, there's your problem right there, son. You got a little bitty Jesus. Amen. My Bible said the earth is his footstool. I said, I serve a mighty big God this morning. The Bible said that he measured the waters, Brother Freddie, in the palm of his hand. I serve a God who's big enough to hold the mighty ocean. Think about it. That's who we're singing about this morning. That's who we're worshiping this morning. We're not worshiping some dead God that's in a grave somewhere. We're not got a big fat Buddha set up as a golden image that we're worshiping this morning. I remember hearing about in China, they had their big god Buddha set up on the hillside, and it started coming a rain, just a flood, and it began to wash the earth out from under Buddha. And they had a picture of all them little Chinese men standing up there trying to hold up their god because he is falling down the hill. I'm glad I'm not holding up my God this morning, but I'm glad I got a God who's upholding me. Hallelujah. I don't know if I ever get to the scripture this morning. Psalms chapter number 12, we mentioned this last Sunday in that second point. We talked about healing, and we talked about help, and we talked about hope. Y'all remember that? Yes, this morning, Psalms chapter 12, won't you look at verse number 1. I've preached from this scripture several times. Brother Charles preaches one of the best messages on this scripture I've ever heard. But in Psalms chapter 12, in verse number 1, I want you to notice how David begins this psalm. Say the first two words with me. Help, Lord. Let's try that again. Help, Lord. Wow. The sweet psalmist of Israel. The one who wrote the 23rd Psalm. The one who walked off in the valley and faced the giant. The one who killed a lion and killed a bear has found himself in a position where he cries out, "Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth. For the faithful fall from among the children of men." Help, Lord. Just for a few minutes, that simple thought this morning. Help, Lord. He didn't just cry help. He cried, "Help, Lord." I don't know about you, but sometimes I come in this place, Brother Freddie, and I just need some help. Are you listening to me? Sometimes I come here and I just really need help. Now listen, you've got to picture, put yourself in my situation. Now, I'm no better than anybody here. I walk around the body of flesh just like you do. But I've got to come in here with a smile on my face and a spring in my step. I've got to be your pastor and your leader. Do you know there's times I don't feel like being your pastor? Well, God, you know, some of y'all looking at me kind of funny. Some of you cannot handle an honest preacher, can you? Sometimes I don't want to be your preacher. I'd rather just curl up in the pew and let somebody preach to me. Amen? I've got to come in here and help you, but sometimes I need help myself. You know what? The preaching I like doing best is the preaching that I know I'm preaching to me. You ever preach to yourself? Come on, talk to me. You ever preach to yourself? A lot of times you think, "Boy, Brother Eddie's preaching right at me." No, I'm helping me. Amen. So if you don't care, I'm going to preach to me for a little while this morning. Sometimes I come in and I need some help, but I need help that nobody but God can give. Are you listening? If I need help with some kind of carpenter work at my house, Brother Freddie can help me with that. If I need some rock laid or some block or brick or any of that kind of stuff, if I need that, Brother Freddie can help me with that. If I've got an electrical problem, I've got one at my house now, and Brother Craig Garnto can help me with that. Brother Clint Massey can help with that. I've got several areas in my life where you can help me. Are you listening? But then there are those areas in my life that Brother Freddie just ain't really nothing he can do. Brother Craig, there's really nothing he can do. I need help sometimes that's even beyond Brother Charles. Sometimes Brother Freddie says this every time we do a funeral together. He always makes this statement. He says something to the effect to the family that I know y'all expect us to have the words to say. And we don't always. Is that right? Something to that effect. You expect the preacher to come in and make it better. Sometimes it's just beyond us. People come in the office and they sit down across my desk and they say, "Preacher, here's the problem. How do I fix it?" All I know to tell you is the Lord. Amen. If you just get that situation to God, hey, you're not going to get it fixed in my office. Amen. You're not going to get it fixed in the psychiatrist's office. Amen. You're not going to get it fixed down at the doctor's office, but you'll crawl up at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. You just might find help for your time of need. Amen. You ever just feel like throwing up your hands? Just throwing up your hands and saying, "Help!" Somebody needs to yell, "Help," this morning. Somebody needs to yell, "Help," this morning. Used to, when we as boys, we'd wrestle. I ain't heard nobody say this in a long time, probably because they wouldn't know what it meant. But we'd get one of our buddies in a hole, get his arm behind his back, or just grab him. You ever had anybody grab your little finger and squeeze it right there? I mean, you put a big old man on his knees. I put Jason on the ground. I get a hold of his pinky just right. Amen. You know what we'd say? We'd tell him, "Say calf rope. Say calf rope." Y'all remember that? Anybody? We'd get them in a hold or get them in a figure four or something like that, and they go, "Ah." Say calf rope. Say calf rope. And finally, you know what that meant? I give mercy. I'm tapping out. Somebody needs to tap out this morning. Somebody needs to come in this altar this morning and say, "I give calf rope, God. I've had about all I can stand, God. Turn this thing loose from me. It's about to kill me." We're living in some trouble sometimes. This old world is probably more wicked than it's ever been. I mean, it's pitiful. It is pitiful the way people think about God. It really is. But the devil is climbing the wall, seeking whom he may devour. He's tearing families up left and right. He's tearing churches up left and right. Amen. We're living in a day when, I don't even want to say that. I'll just go on. He's on the warpath. Every one of us this morning believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'd shout about that. But just as real as he is, so is the devil. We have a real enemy this morning. And his name is Lucifer. We're still battling demonic forces on every hand. Some people think you're getting spooky when you talk about demons. Hey, if they were real in the New Testament, they're real now. Hey, let me tell you something. Demons never die. I'm not going to get into all that. They're the angels that left their first estate. They are eternal beings. There's no demon graveyard. So if they were there, they were here then, they're here now. You're facing something bigger than you. I worry about them televangelists that get on there and command Lucifer to do this and that. That's like a chihuahua barking at that freight train when it comes by. He's just going to roll right on over you, friend. You're no match for Satan. You're no match for sin. You're no match for some of the problems that you're facing. What are you saying? We just need to get to a place where we drop all the pride and we drop all the facade and we drop all the falseness and the fakeness and just get on our face and say, help, Lord. Lord, I need help. I need help. If I don't get it, I ain't going to make it. Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever prayed and said, God, if you don't help me, I'm not going to make it? Amen. God, if you don't get me through this, I'm done. Yes. Yeah. We've got some people who are about done here this morning. Yeah. You're treading water. Yeah. We had grandbabies at the house yesterday afternoon, and Hayden got to where he can swim just a little bit. I mean, just he could probably swim about that far underwater, but he can swim. He wanted to go jump off a diving board. And he does. He jumps off a diving board, puts him armies on. Thank God for armies, amen? He puts him armies on. And I thought, well, you know, since he can swim, he can probably jump off without them. Then I thought, I don't know, that's deep water. And he can tread for a few minutes, but he gets tired real quick. Some of us have jumped off in deep water without our armies this morning. And we can tread for just a little bit, and we're paddling and paddling and paddling, but our strength is just about gone. Some of us are drowning in the trouble that Satan has brought our way. Peter walked on the water, and as he began to sink, you know what he said? Help! Help! I'm going down! The Lord didn't say, well, if you'd quit looking at the storm, keep your eye on me. I mean, he didn't go into no dissertation there. He just reached down and got it. Yes, sir. Amen. He didn't teach him a great lesson there before he reached down. He just reached down and got him. Thank God. I'm glad. I don't know how many times the Lord has just reached down in the junk of this world and picked me up one more time. Hallelujah. Amen. Some of you need picking up this morning. Y'all all right? I want to talk to you just for a minute this morning about how to get help from God. Did you know the Lord wants to help you more than you want the help? Let me say it again. The Lord wants to help you more than you want to get help. First thing you're going to have to do is you're going to have to get you out of the way. Amen. What's that country song everybody's so crazy about? Jesus, take the wheel. Oh, that's a good song. You ought to listen to some of that other trash that girl sings. Y'all all right? Jesus, take the wheel. Before he can take the wheel, you got to let go of it. Before he can take charge of the situation, you got to take your hands off. Okay, God, I've wrecked it. I've ruined it. I'm getting nowhere, God. It's in your hands. It's not in mine and your hands. God, it is totally in your hands. Some of y'all just going to have to go hands off. You ain't going to fix it. You don't know how to fix it. You don't even have a clue. So quit fooling around. You may be going the wrong direction. You may be headed into deeper water. I remember years ago we were out deep sea fishing down in Destin, Florida. I love to do that. If any of you is taking a trip and there's an empty spot, I'm in. I enjoy that. I was going down to Texas to go fishing with Brother Eric. Doggone if he didn't come here. Amen. You go back to Texas, I'm coming to go fishing, amen? But we got out, we got on a boat one night at midnight, a whole bunch of us crowd from White Oak. We got on a boat at midnight, and that boat traveled all night long. We stayed out on the ocean 2 days. We got up that next morning, and we're all eating breakfast and yakking, and Roger Cole's standing there, and he's in heaven now. Roger looked over at me, and he said, Eddie, which way is the bank? Now, to a country boy, it's the bank. You know, to them fishermen out on the ocean, it's the shore. But he said, which way is the bank? I looked around. I ain't got a clue. He said, if you had to take this boat and get us home, which way would you go? I said, that way? He said, I don't know either. If you're not careful, you get yourself to where you don't even know where you are. You get yourself where you don't even know you are, and you get the idea, I think it's that way. I don't know how many times in the middle of the dark woods, in the middle of the night of coon hunting, I thought I knew where the truck was. It's that way. And your buddy says, no, it ain't. It's that way. And you walk round and round and round in circles all night long because you ain't got a clue where you at. Some of you are spiritually right there this morning. Don't move. You're just going to get in deeper water. Don't try to get out of it. You may just get in deeper. Amen. What you may have to do is just stop right where you are. Let me say that again. Stop right where you are. Amen. Quit trying to go in any direction.
Amen, preacher.
Somebody said, what do you do when you don't know what to do? Don't do nothing.
Amen.
You'll make the worst decisions in your life when you don't know what to do.
Amen.
Just stop right where you are. Look up toward heaven. Use these two simple words, help, Lord.
Yeah.
And mean it from your heart. And he'll come in like a Lone Ranger, son.
Yes, sir.
Amen. I'm here to tell you this morning. He's always right on time.
Amen.
Are you listening?
Yeah.
Some of you just need to cry, help, Lord. But you're going to have to let go first. You're going to have to quit trying it your way first.
Right.
Some of you need to come up to the realization that you've gone by as far as you can go.
Amen.
Quit being all churchy. It's good to see you this morning. Yeah, and you're about dead. Instead of holding that head up in pride, you might ought to drop it in humility and say, I need help today. I need help today. I couldn't shout a while ago because I'm hurting. My grandmother used to say, well, just praise the Lord anyhow. These times I don't feel like praising Him. How about you? I need help. Now listen, let me give you three things. To get help from the Lord, we're going to have to find ourselves in the place of help. In the place of help. Now, don't get me wrong. God can help you anywhere.
Yeah.
Am I right about it? He can help you in your living room. He can help you behind the wheel of your car going down 61 running 65 miles an hour. He can help you. He can help you on your job, but God has a specific, special place to help His people. Let me just say it again. God has a specific, special place to help His people. You don't know where it's at? It's at the church. It's at the church. That is the place to get help. Listen, God's helped me in all manner of ways, in all manner of places, but I've got more help in the house of God than I have anywhere else. I still believe in the church, amen?
Yes,
I said I still believe in the church.
Amen.
Some of these people ought to take church off their sign.
Yeah,
I mean, just go out there, get them a eraser and take it off, paint over it. Some of them have. Some of them have. There's one in Dallas. It's not called a church. Just called the Oasis. Oasis means a watering hole. That could be a bar, right? I appreciate them for being honest. If it ain't a church, don't advertise it as one. Y'all okay? The Lord said, on this rock, talking to Simon Peter, on this rock I'll build my church, and the rock wasn't Peter. The rock, the foundation of what Peter said, thou art the Christ. Jesus said, you got it, bud. And on that rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Thank God for the church.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. They're building churches now that don't look like churches. They're trying to get away from the traditional church. I like it.
Yeah.
I like pews instead of lawn chairs. How about y'all? swallow real hard, it'll go down. Somebody said, you against having chairs instead of pews? Not really against it, but that's like pews. Yeah. Why? I come in here, this looks like church. Yeah. Y'all okay? Woo! Yeah. The church is supposed to be a hospital. The church is supposed to be a hospital where people can come in and get some help. Are y'all listening? I get help. I got help this morning. I told Brother Freddie, you tell him, you can ask him, he'll tell you. I told him, I said, man, I feel awful. I woke up this morning aching from head to toe. I think Sister Angie whooped me while I was asleep last night. I told her this morning, I felt like I got bruises all up and down my back. I probably have. She probably just put it on me last night. I told Brother Freddie, I feel awful. I don't even feel like preaching. He looked up here a few minutes later. He said, are you okay? And I said, no, I ain't. But I'm feeling pretty good now. I'm feeling pretty good now. You know what happened? You know what happened? I got in here and got to praising God. Let me say it again. I come in here and got to praising God. You know what that made me do? It got my mind on Him and off my back. It got my mind on Him and off my shoulder. It got my mind on Him and off my headache. Hallelujah. I feel pretty doggone good. Hey, what do you say? I got some help in the house of God this morning. Amen. Man, they got to singing that song. I just want to thank Him. I just want to praise Him one more time. Hey, something inside. If you can sit there and contain that, you crippled too high for crutches, something's the matter with you. Brother, that does something to me. It doesn't matter if I'm fighting a cold, fighting the flu, or fighting the devil head on. That does something to me. I hear that song, but it makes me feel 10 foot tall and bulletproof. Amen. I'm saying church is a place of help. I said church is a place of help. Rusty, he's out with the teens this morning. Is that right? That Miss Stacy testified a while ago. Matter of fact, that's pretty good preaching. Y'all all right? That's pretty good preaching. They come in here on the verge. Their next step in life was to separate. They're fixing to call a marriage quit. They come one Sunday. Monday, she called me, talked to me on the phone for 2 hours. I mean, I just wanted to say, breathe. I mean, she was just, you know what she was saying? She could have just said in one sentence what she said in 2 hours. I got some help. I'd rather hear that than that's great preaching any day of the week. I'd rather hear that than that's the most awesome church I know. Hey, I'd rather just hear somebody say, hey, we came to your church and got some help. Glory to God, that's my heart's desires to help you. I want nothing more in this world. I don't care if I preach a great sermon. I don't give a rip. I don't care if it's never printed in the sword of the Lord. I'd rather not, be honest with you. Y'all all right? It's a place of help. Man, we get to praising God. Man, I'm so glad the singing comes before the preaching. Can I say that again? If I just had to come in here and y'all sat down and I started preaching to you, you wouldn't get very much. My son's sitting right there. Brother Robbie's sitting right there. They saw my outline before I got in the church this morning. I run Brother Robbie out of my office. We was talking. I said, you got to go, man. And I held up this sheet of paper right here. And I said, there's my outline. He said, you better get busy. Levi and Cora came in. What are you doing? I said, there's my outline. It's blank. I mean blank. I knew I was preaching from this scripture, but buddy, I just didn't have nothing. I didn't feel nothing. Y'all all right?
Yeah.
Levi said, well, I got something burning. Levi said, that's all right, I got one burning. Don't worry about that outline. Hallelujah. I wonder how he responded if I'd have said, well, give it here. Amen. Amen. But it was tempting just to look at him and say, son, let her rip. Yeah, Lord, give me some thoughts. I can turn this paper around, thank God. I'm glad there's something on the other side. Hallelujah. And then the Lord began to give me some thoughts. And it ain't always that way. Don't think, well, the preacher waits till Sunday morning to prepare. No, I don't. That's just the way it turned out this morning. And I came in here, but I didn't feel like preaching. And they got to singing. I'm glad the singing made me feel like preaching and not dancing. Y'all all right? I'm glad the singing made me do like this instead of like this. Y'all all right? I seen a church on TV the other day. While the singing was going on, they had people with, I don't know what you call them, it's like long ribbons on a stick. Y'all know what I'm talking about? They use them in the circus. And they were running around the sanctuary like ballerinas. I thought, man, it was like a bunch of homos running around. Amen? Seriously, they had on leotards. Y'all don't want to see me in leotards. I guarantee you. Amen. I mean, they were running around waving their little things, and I thought, what in God's name are they doing? That didn't make me want to shout. It made me want to vomit. That singing made me want to preach. I said that singing made me want to preach. Somebody said, why you let them sing so long? I let them sing till I'm ready. Savonarola, one of the great old preachers in the 1800s, they said he walked into a church, sat on the platform, and for 5 hours, he refused to preach. He just sat there, sing another song, sing another song. They'd look at him, sing another song. 5 hours. You know how many people left? Zero. They knew whatever he was waiting on. They knew whatever he was waiting on would be worth it. Hallelujah. I'm glad to sing it. Makes me feel like preaching. Hey, it'd be a cold day. It'd be a cold day where the booger man lives before we have rapping in here. That make you want to shout and praise the Lord? No, it don't. Makes you want to boogie and get down. Only rapping we're going to have in here is unwrapping on my birthday. Hallelujah. Y'all all right? We're going to keep it God-centered. I say this all the time. I'm going to say it again. Singing make you want to do one of two things. One of two things. I'm talking about church music makes you want to do one of two things. That's entertainment. Hey, I like to be entertained. How about you? Y'all nod your heads. I like to be entertained. I like it. Y'all seen them, what they call them, mama? Y'all went and seen them, them women. Celtic. Them Celtic women. Y'all ever seen that on Channel 8? Man, that is awesome, man. They sing that Irish music, got them fiddles. Man, that woman can run around in circles wide open as a cage. Now, playing that fiddle, never miss a lick. Like, man, that's entertaining. But you know what? I didn't come to be entertained this morning. I didn't come to be entertained. I come to get some help. Amen. And I like that singing that helps you. Amen. It's a place of help because of the praise that takes place in this place. Hey, so I can be unhappy and watch somebody else get happy and I get happy. Y'all all right? I can be unhappy, watch somebody else get happy, and I get something off of it. Y'all all right? It's kind of like an old missionary at my home church growing up, Brother Robert Jenkins. Y'all, anybody remember Robert Jenkins? He was a missionary. Crazy as a Bessie bug. He was an electrician. Brother Freddie, he'd go on the job, and he'd get a live electrical wire and hold it behind his back in his left hand and just wait for somebody to walk by, and he'd say, hey, how you doing? He could handle that 110 volts. It didn't bother him one bit. But somebody walked by and he just shake their hand. Knock them for a loop. You follow what I'm saying? They were getting something off of what he was getting. Brother Tommy got up. I knew it soon as she stood up. I said, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Woo! I knew it was coming. I mean, it's like he had the electrical cord behind his back. I felt it. Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm telling you, we get some help in the place of God this morning. And that's the church. Amen. Get some help from the praise. You ought to get some help from the preaching. Amen. Preaching ought to help you. Listen, my job's not to pump you up all the time. Do you understand that? Somebody said, well, we just like going to such and such church because you always feel good when you leave. You can get that at a bar. that right, Stacy? Yeah. Come on. Hey, look here. When Ashley had the cancer, she talked about being free from this morning. She had a harder time getting off of morphine than she did getting over the cancer. She was strung out, man. Seriously, I mean, she had a battle. Because they didn't expect her to live. It was just like, keep her comfortable. Morphine make you feel good. But if morphine was all they gave her, we'd be putting flowers on her grave. Y'all listening? Had to be some chemo too. That didn't feel good. Are y'all all right? Miss Sonia tell you, it's not a party. The pain medicine make you feel pretty, can make you grin. I'll never forget Brother Charles was having heart surgery. I went in to pray with him before, and they done give him that happy juice. Anybody ever had that stuff? I don't know what it is. I don't know what they put in you, but it's just that fast. Brother Charles was like, He had a little white bonnet on his head. It was a sight. If I'd had a video camera, hey, man, hey, we give you something to make you feel good this morning, but it won't last. It'll wear off. And then you got to have another dose and another dose and another dose and another dose, and then you're addicted. Well, boy, if we can put some of that burning chemotherapy in there. Sometimes preaching's got to cut. Well, they call it invasive surgery. It means it's not on the surface. It's underneath. Preaching will help you if you'll let it. I made up my mind years ago that I wasn't going to let preaching ever make me mad. Not doctrinal preaching. Now, there's some of this crowd out here makes me mad. Joel Osteen makes me mad. Makes me mad. Several of this touchy-feely, good, warm, fuzzy stuff makes me mad. I don't preach hard all the time. Probably not enough. Make up your mind. I want it to help me. Even if it hurts. You can't always say amen. Sometimes it may be, oh me. There used to be a term we heard a lot in church. Boy, the preacher stepped all over my toes this morning. Now they're just tickling your ears. We get help in the place of help. I'm talking about the church. I believe in the church. In Revelation chapter number 2, the Lord wrote 7 letters to 7 churches in Asia Minor, not 7 cell groups. As long as I'm here, there won't be no cell groups. That's what you have in jail. We ain't going to break up in groups on Sunday night. No, this is the group. I don't care if it doubles, triples, quadruples in size. It'll still be the group. Y'all okay? Y'all help me. We might have church. You ought to be thankful. Amen? You ought to be thankful. We get help from the praise, from the preaching. I get help from the people. I get help from the people. Man, sometimes I'm discouraged. And somebody will hand me a note. I get help from your children. I got a desk drawer back there full of some of the sweetest things that these kids has made me through the years. I'm going to wait till they're all grown. I'm going to put tables, line tables up in the gym. I'm going to lay all them little pictures and notes they've drawn over the years. You're the greatest preacher in the world. I know better than that, but it sure does feel good. Sure does feel good. I remember years ago at White Oak, I was teaching Sunday school, and I felt like I was a pitiful teacher, and I probably was. I felt like I wasn't doing anybody any good. I'd taught that morning. The kids, Kelly, one of them, they wouldn't shut up. They wouldn't listen. And I was just beating my head against, it wasn't you, I'm sure. I was just beating my head against the wall. Randy Massey was one of them. Lord have mercy, I wanted to quit. I walked in the sanctuary that morning defeated. As soon as church was over that morning, my plans was to tell Junior Bearden, our Sunday school superintendent, I'm done. Well, the service kind of got on that morning. I'll never forget it. Might as well have been yesterday. I mean, it just got on, like it did here a little bit this morning. Preacher never even got to preach. I'll never forget it as long as I live. Michael Williams. He'd grown, married, and got kids of his own now. But Michael Williams got up and said, "Preacher, can I testify?" And the preacher said, "Yeah." Big old tears run down his face. He started thanking God for his Sunday school teacher. He said, "I don't know what I'd do. God hadn't given us Brother Eddie." That was for me. Amen. I wonder what we missed by not being here. You ever miss church and somebody say, "Whoo, boy, you missed it." Seems like every time you miss. I don't tell you something, amen. Seriously, there's no telling what we miss by missing the place, the place of help. I want our church to always be a place where you can get help. I won't never stop these people coming to the altar. You outside your head, if you think I'm going to say, "Hey, it's not time to come to the altar." It's always time. It don't bother me if they're singing, if I'm preaching. I don't care. You're in a place where you can get some help this morning. And we're on your side. We want you to get it. I got to quit. I'll never forget a few years ago, our youth choir was singing at a church locally. If I named the church, every one of you'd know what it was. It's been several years ago. Sister Stephanie Speck was still here. She lives in New York now. But our youth choir was singing. Brother Dwayne Moore was supposed to be preaching. A little girl came to the altar. And Stephanie just come down out of the choir and began praying with that young girl. And that young girl told Stephanie. Stephanie said, "What can I help you pray about?" She said, "I'm not saved." And them girls coming to that altar tore that preacher up so bad. I saw him. He got so fidgety, he didn't know what to do. He finally went down there and said, "Well, what are you doing down here?" She said, "I need to get saved." He said, "Oh, no, no, you're okay." Patted her on her head and sent her back to her seat. Stephanie grabbed her hand before she went in her seat and wrote her phone number on and said, "Call me." When we get freaked out by people coming to the altar, something's the matter with us. It wouldn't bother me if we laid in the altar from the time we got here to the time we left. Amen. A place where we can get some help by the praise, the preaching, and the people. Then there's the person of the help. The person that we need to come to for help. It's Jesus. There you listen to Matthew chapter 11, verse number 28. "All ye that labor and heavy laden, come unto me and you'll find rest for your soul. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Is that what he said? I'm not qualified to help you. I have the desire to help you. I wish I could. I wish I could fix every marital problem. I wish I had a magic wand or some pixie dust. I could just blow on you. I wish I could go Benny Hinn and bop you on the head and everything in your life would be okay. But I can't do it and neither can he. Y'all all right? But I'm serving one that can this morning. I have the desire to help you, but he has the ability to help you. Let me say that again. I said, I have the desire to help you, but my desire only goes so far. He not only has the desire, he has the ability to help you. Amen. Hey, he's helped some of y'all, ain't he? Amen. Hey, he's helped some of y'all. Hey, he helped me when I was lost and on my way to hell. He helped me when I didn't know how to be a good husband. Now I'm the best one in the whole world. Hear her tell it. Amen. That wasn't me, that's him. Amen. The person of our help. We're caught up a little too much in this day and age with man worship. This church ain't about me. And it ain't about none of these other men. It's about him. And if we'll keep him at the forefront, people will continue to get help. Yes, but when this thing comes about a preacher, the help will cease.
Y'all all right?
Amen. That's good.
Some of these preachers just got too big for their britches.
Amen. That's the truth.
They think it's all about them.
Amen.
And it ain't.
Amen.
It's not about me. You ever listening? Preachers today think they got to write a book. That's the stupidest thing in the world.
Amen.
Somebody said, Brother Eddie, why don't you write a book? Because there's 10 million of them out there.
Yeah.
We've got enough books. Read the ones you got, amen?
Yeah.
Y'all all right?
Amen.
I'm telling you, if you come to Jesus, you'll get some help.
Yes, sir.
You know why? Because He can.
Yeah.
Right.
Amen.
That's just that simple. He can. He not only has the desire, He has the ability. And not only is it that He can, He cares. Sometimes, I'll be honest with you, I get in such a state, I don't even want to hear your problem. Y'all all right? Is there any certain individual in your family or in your life or maybe even in the church you hate to see them coming? Y'all okay? There was an old woman on the Andy Griffin Show. Can't remember her name right off the top of my head, Brother Charles. She's an old lady. Every time you saw her, she had to tell about all her problems. They'd say, hey, Miss So-and-so, how you doing? Well, my sciatica and my this, Yeah, Miss Emmer, I see it. Always got a problem, always something wrong. Hey, some people, I'm just like, oh, no. I see their car at parking lot in Walmart and go somewhere else. Y'all all right? Jesus really cares. We quoted a while ago, I'll do it again, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 7. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. What I'm saying this morning, He can handle it. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. Your situation ain't new. He's dealt with it before. He was tempted in all points, such as we are. He knows what you're going through. You come tell me about some of these problems, and I scratch my head, and I go, huh, I ain't got a clue. Some preachers want you to believe they know everything. I'd rather tell you I don't know and give you a wrong answer.
Yeah. Amen.
I had a lady stop at the door a few weeks ago and asked me about a verse. She said, what's that mean? I said, beats a far out of me. She said, really? You don't know? I said, no, you don't know? I was hoping maybe you was going to tell me. But I got one who does know.
Right.
Amen. I got one who can handle the situation. There's nothing you can't bring Him.
Amen.
I'll never forget, I'm winding down. I'll never forget years ago, when I first started preaching outside our church, I was preaching in a camp meeting. An old boy during the altar call got up off the back row. I mean, just brokenhearted, weeping. Came down the altar, and he stood there and sat there and prayed for a little bit. And when he got up where he was praying, he had left a pack of Marlboro cigarettes on the altar. What he was doing, he was trying to give that to God.
Yeah.
And that crazy preacher I was preaching with that night, that guy still, he's walking to his seat. That guy takes a run in and kicks that pack of cigarettes and said, God don't want your filthy cigarettes. And I thought, yeah, He does. Yeah, He does. There ain't nothing I can't bring to Him. There's no situation, no sin, no problem that I can't bring to Him. Why? Because He can't handle it. And He really cares. We've got the place of help. God's given us a good church. He has. We can improve, I know, in several areas. We need help. Amen. And we're working on it. I ain't saying we're changing. We've got a good church. Amen. We've got the place of help. We've got the person of help.
Yes, brother.
You ain't going to come here for a month and not hear something about how to be saved.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
That's
right, brother. We was in our old building. A man came to our church. First time he ever came, he came to the altar and got saved. He was a member of a Baptist church in Dallas, Georgia. Said he'd been going there 6 years and had never heard the gospel. You believe that? There was a time when I'd have said, no way. Till I heard his preacher do a funeral one time. I said, uh-huh, I see why. All right, we've got the person of help. We don't magnify men around here. We give honor where honor's due. But we do our best to lift up Jesus.
Amen.
He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me.
Yeah,
amen. Amen? We're going to do our best to magnify him. The psalmist said, oh, let us magnify his name together.
Amen.
We're going to make much out of Jesus.
Right.
And we're going to make much out of the gospel. There's the place of help, the person of help, and then there's the power of his help. The power of his help. We sang it this morning. There's power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. Anybody ever heard them sing that up north? It don't even sound right. There is power, power, wonder-working power. I said, no. I stop them everywhere I'm at. I said, no, it's not power. It's power. It's power. It's power in the, it's power in the blood. Amen. It don't even sound right. Look at Shelly sitting over shaking her head. Yankee. Hey. We make her sing it solo one night and make her do it right. Amen. Thank God for the power of God. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 7, the Bible said, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Thank God for the power of God that can help us this morning. Amen. Hey, it was the power of God that stirred my soul as they sang. It was the power of God that stirred me up, as Brother Tommy testified. Amen. But I want to stand up and cheer him on. Yes, sir, brother. Amen. Thank God for the power of God. There's power to save. John said, to as many believe, gave he the power to become the sons of God. You know what it took for you to get saved? It took the power of God. You didn't just repeat a prayer, one, two, three. Are you listening? It was the power of God. That night I fell under Holy Ghost conviction. That was powerful. How many of you remember when you got saved?
Yes, sir.
It was powerful, wasn't it?
Yes, sir.
It was power. It was the power of God working in you to transform you from darkness unto light. Amen. It was that spirit of adoption taking place in your heart. It was the power of God that saved you.
Amen.
How can preachers expect to see people saved when they preach without power? How can singers expect to see people stirred when they sing without power? I'm sick of this performance-driven junk. We ain't going to have no choreography in here. Y'all all right? I just want the power of God. I'd rather have somebody that can't sing a lick got a touch of God on them. I remember years ago I was preaching at New Manna Baptist Church in Marion, North Carolina. Big meeting. There's over 1,000 people there. Camp meeting. Some guy had preached, and then I was supposed to preach. And the pastor said the Hendersons are going to come and sing, and then Brother Eddie will come. I thought, okay, they're going to sing a special. And I'd never met the Hendersons in my life. They walked past me. I'm sitting on the front row, and I saw them, and I went, oh, no. They were from Alabama. They were all wearing dusters. Y'all know what a duster is? Like in little house dresses the old-timey women used to wear around the house. Every one of them had on house shoes, slip bedroom shoes. I spacked my hand up. They did not look like well-to-do people. By any means, any stretch of means, they did not look professional. And I thought, Lord, I hope I can pull this out. That was my attitude. My attitude was they're fixing to go up there and kill this service, and I got to get up behind this and try to preach. Well, that mother and them two daughters walked up on that platform, opened their mouths, and God jumped out with both feet. Sister Patsy, that mom threw her head back. She said, there's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. Woo! I'm talking about it got on, friend. I mean, it was on like a chicken bone. I didn't care if I got to preach or not. I was just like, glory to God. Hallelujah. I don't care. I don't care the quality if God's in it.
Amen.
Amen. Of course, the singing was quality. They were good. They were good. I don't know if y'all knew it or not, but the youngest daughter passed away. She died. Boy, I love them women. Y'all remember that song they used to sing? A speck of dirt is all I am. I begged my daughter to sing it for 20 years. She won't do it. A speck of dirt, nothing more. Nothing worthy of the Lamb. Amen. Hey, I want to have good singing, but I want it to have the touch of God on it. Amen. I want it, by the way, and I don't know why I keep getting on this. I know a lot of people would love to change it and get a little contemporary. Hey, if we want the touch of God on our music, we're going to have to keep music that God can touch. He can't bless boot, scoot, and boogie. Y'all all right? He's got the power to save. He's got the power to serve. Philippians 4:13 still says, I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. This morning I sat on the platform, honest before God. I said, Lord, I don't feel like doing this morning. He said, we can handle it. We can handle it. Y'all listening?
Amen.
Not by my power.
Amen.
Not by my might. Somebody said, how in the world did you pastor the same church 18 years?
Right.
It's Him.
Amen.
I'm planning on 18 more. Y'all all right with that?
Amen.
Power to save. Power to serve. Ephesians chapter 5, He gave me power to stand. He said, when you've done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about. Talks about that armor, putting on that armor. They're falling by the wayside. Preachers that I know and love. I preached with a guy in Florida, pastor. He pastors in Florida. I'm not talking about a storefront. I'm talking about a couple thousand people. Famous. He's had sermons in the Sword of the Lord. Took Baptist off his sign. No longer has a pulpit, he has a bar stool. No longer wears a shirt and tie, but a polo shirt. And he sits on that little bar stool and gives little talks on Sunday morning. God bless you. I'm glad God's given me power to stand. But I'm going to have to rely on that power. And so are you. Some of you are standing against some things in your life right now, and you feel like you just can't stand much longer. Help, Lord. Lord, let me get to the place of help. Come back tonight and let the Lord help you some more. Believe it or not, He can help you on a Wednesday night. He can help you in Sunday school. The place of help. The person of help, that's Jesus. Ashley, y'all come and get a song, Brother Todd. The power of help. I'm glad we've got an all-powerful God. Listen, the devil's pretty mighty, and he's pretty powerful. But God is all-powerful. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Just for a minute this morning, heads bowed and eyes closed. Ain't nobody looking around. I wonder if there might be one here today who just needs that power to save. You're not 100% sure that if you died right this minute, heaven would be your home. I won't come to you. I won't embarrass you for nothing. I just want to pray for you. You say, preacher, I'm not sure if I died right now, heaven would be my home. Please pray for me. Would you just slip up your hand? Slip it up, put it right back down. Anybody? How about this morning? Preacher, I know that I'm saved. There's really no doubt in my mind. I can tell you when I got saved. I can tell you where I was. I know I'm saved. But boy, I need some help. I need some help this morning. And I know I need to get it from God. Anybody like that? God wants to help you this morning. Remember what I said? He wants to help you more than you want help. If you just let go, get on this altar this morning. He's got exactly what you need. Father, as we come before you this morning, you saw every hand. Lord, you know every heart.
Lord, I just pray that you'd help this morning like only you can. Lord, I have the desire to help them, but I don't have the ability. But God, you do. Lord, just have your way in this altar call. Father, we'll thank you and we'll praise you for what you do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.